You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, I'm In. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Well, hello, New Point. Hey, I want to thank you so much for your love, your support, and your prayers over these past few days. We have a God who hears and answers prayer and is very, very generous. And he's been very generous to the Mason family with his presence, with his grace. And so I thank you on behalf of all of us at the Mason household for lifting us up in prayer. You see, God is a generous God. And God wants you and I to be like him. When Jesus was here on earth, Jesus ran with generosity. It was all through his veins. The way in which he treated people, the way in which he did things, it all oozed from a heart of generosity. And he wants you and I to be like him. And if we're going to run the race, and if we're going to run in a way to get the prize, we have to run with a generous heart. And so here's my question for us today. Am I generous? How would you answer that question? How would your spouse answer that question? How would your son or your daughter answer that question? How would your coworkers answer that question? Probably nobody has had a greater impact on me on this subject more than Andy Stanley. He's written a book called The Fields of Gold and How to Be Rich. And I've learned a lot from Andy and his writings and his teachings on this. And what I want to do today is I want to share with you what I've learned and what I've implemented in my own life and what we've implemented as a family, because it's helped me to become more and more generous in my life. You see, everybody's a giver, but not everybody is generous. In about 45 days, we're going to be celebrating something called Christmas. And guess what? My assumption is all of us are going to participate in it in one way or another. You know, we're going to go and we're going to buy something and we're going to give something, which means that all of us are givers. But it doesn't translate to the fact that all of us are generous. You see, generosity is not natural. Dwight's naturally selfish. Dwight's naturally thinking of himself. And you are too. That's why we try to train and teach our kids to be generous. That's one of our goals as a parent. We want our kids to be able to be generous, to share with one another. And yet as adults, we struggle with this, because there's still a resistance in you and in me when we're asked to give, especially for that which we think we have worked hard for or we think belongs to us. We have this resistance in us. And so what happens is we become givers, but we don't become generous people. And so generosity is not natural for you and me. And so we have to be trained in it. We have to be taught in it. You see, generosity is more than random acts of giving. You know, we all think of the time, and some of you are thinking about it right now. Well, Dwight, I'm a generous person because let me tell you what I did last week. And what happens is we think that generosity is about random giving, but it's not. And that's where we get confused, and that's where we become defensive, because we think of those random acts of giving that we have displayed. You know, maybe the waitress was very kind to us, and so we leave her a 30% tip, and we walk away and say, I'm generous, man. I am just generous. And what happens is we think that generosity is random acts of giving, but it's much more than that. It's much greater than that. You see, what happens is we have a tendency in America to think that we're generous because it's a cultural thing. We do kind things for other countries and for other people. And it even is a Christian thing that we do acts of kindness. But that doesn't translate in you and me being generous. You see, probably most of us here today, we don't feel rich, but we are. And most of us here today, if we're honest, we feel that we're generous, but we're not. We're not. We do random acts of giving, but for you and me to be described as generous, we probably fall short. Now, a man who modeled this was a man named Paul. And Paul was a very, very generous man with his time and his talents and his treasure. And Luke writes about him and a conversation that he had with him in Acts chapter 20. And Paul is getting ready to leave the people there in Ephesus. And he's going to Jerusalem. And he ultimately knows that he probably will never see them again. And so he's sharing some important last words. And what he is doing is he's challenging them to be generous. And he basically said this, take a look at my life. Take a look at the way in which I have lived before you. And I've lived a very, very generous life. And I want you to begin to model what I have modeled before you. And Paul says this in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. He said, I considered my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race, to run in such a way to win, and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. And so he's telling them, consider my life. I considered it worth nothing to me. And I lived a very, very generous life because my aim was to finish the race, to run in such a way to win, to be able to share the good news. And then Luke goes on to tell us this when he says this about Paul. Paul is speaking. He said, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, because it's hard work to be generous. Why? Because it doesn't come natural to us. He says, by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, those who are less fortunate. And then he says these incredible, powerful words that you and I have heard many, many times, but we don't fully understand and probably haven't fully embraced. He goes on to say this, remembering the words the Lord Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Wow. Now, we're all familiar with that, right? It's more blessed to give than to receive. And usually it's in a conversation when somebody has done an act of giving, a random act. Well, remember, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And what happens is we attribute it to a moment in time. But that's not what Jesus means here. And those people knew that. They knew that Jesus was not saying in a moment of time, in a random act of giving. He meant it as a lifestyle, as a lifestyle. He's basically saying this, it is more blessed, let's go back, it is more blessed to give as a lifestyle than it is to receive. And that word blessed there means happy. And so ultimately, here's what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying this, happy is the person whose life is ordered around giving rather than receiving. Y'all okay? I mean, one of the main problems in our world today is depression. Here's why I believe that is true, because we focus on receiving. What have you done for me lately? We've turned inward. You see, the Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea because the Dead Sea does not give. It has no outlet to give. And you and I ultimately end up dying when we don't give, when we don't develop a generous heart. And so Jesus was basically saying, happy is the person whose life is ordered around giving rather than receiving, because generosity is not natural for me. It's not natural for you. And so we have to do some ordering. We have to do some reconstruction in our heart and in our life. Now, for us to be able to embrace this truth and to be able to truly run with generosity, we have to explode some myths about generosity that enters your mind and enters my mind, enters your thinking and enters my thinking. And I just want to share with you briefly four of them. Here's the first generosity myth, and that is this, that generosity is spontaneous. That it's just spontaneous, you know, when it just comes upon me and I feel like giving. Oh, he moved me in his talk, and so I'm going to give. Or, you know, I saw a picture of a starving child, so honey, I think that we ought to contribute to that. What happens is we think that generosity is spontaneous. But what I would suggest to us today is that generosity is really less emotional than what you think. Has very little to do with your emotions and my emotions. You see, generous people are not so much spontaneous as they are strategic. Strategic. Here's another myth that we have to deal with if we're going to run with generosity. Generosity is determined by cash flow. By cash flow. And what happens is that's not true. Generosity is demonstrated by consistency. See, generosity is a lifestyle. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. He wasn't talking about a moment. He was talking about a lifestyle. And if you have a tendency, okay, once you know I love you, but if you have a tendency and a philosophy that says, well, we give when we can afford it, you're not generous. Sorry to let you know, you're just not generous. Because what happens is generosity is not determined by cash flow. Here's another myth. It's the amount that counts. That's another myth. It's the, you know, it's really the amount that counts. No, it's your heart. It's my heart that counts. You see, no one knows how generous you truly are except for you and God. See, this is one of the ways in which we fool ourselves. We trick ourselves into thinking that we're more generous than what we really are. The only way for somebody to know that you're truly generous is to have access to your finances and find out what is left after you have given. Y'all okay? So generosity has nothing to do with the amount. That's why Jesus commended the widow. He said, hey, listen. She gave two mites, you know what? I just want all of you to know that she was the most generous giver here today, though she gave the least in terms of dollars. And so generosity has very little to do with the amount. It has to do with your heart. That's why everybody can be generous because everybody can give something. Here's another myth, and that is this. Rich people are generous. That's a myth. That's just a myth. You see, what happens is we buy into this thinking of saying, when I become rich, I'll become generous. And what does it mean for you and I to be rich? Usually it means that we make double what we're making right now. Whatever that is, okay? Whenever I can make double what I'm making right now, I'll become rich. But the fact of the matter is, rich people are rich, and generous people are generous, and it has nothing to do with how much money you have or how little money you have. It has to do with your heart. And let me just say this for all of the younger people here today. If you think that you're going to be generous when you get old, you're deceived if you're not generous now. You're developing a pattern right now of whether you're going to be generous or whether you're not going to be generous. And so what we have to understand is this truth here, that there is no correlation between how much money you have and how generous you are. Nothing. You say, I don't make much money. You can still be very generous because there's no correlation between how much money you have and how generous you are. Now, Paul, that we just read about in the book of Acts, he believed in this so much that one of his disciples, Timothy, he wrote to him about how he should address this with the people that he was leading. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 7, Paul is telling Timothy, these are the things that you must teach and insist upon. And much of it deals with our money, because he understands this thought of being generous. And so here's what Paul told Timothy that he needed to tell other people. He said, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of the world. Wow. So basically what he is saying to Timothy is this. He is challenging Timothy that, hey, you know what? If you can't take it with you, why miss the opportunity to give it away? Because you're not going to take it with you. You see, generous people understand that they're not owners. Generous people understand that they are stewards. They don't assume that it's theirs. And so since it's all going to be taken away, why would you miss the opportunity to give it away? And so what he's saying is, remind people here that they don't own anything. They don't own anything. Because, see, what happens is, if you owned it, you could take it with you. But you can't take it with you because you don't own it. And so Paul tells Timothy here, just let them know, they brought nothing into the world, they're going to take nothing out of the world. And then he goes on with this. He says this. He says, command those who are rich. Who's rich? That's you and me. If you make $50,000 a year, okay, you're in the 1% of all of the world. You're rich. You have running water, you're rich. You got electricity, you're rich. You got a vehicle, you're rich. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. It's here and gone. We bring nothing into the world, we take nothing out of the world. He goes on to say this. He says, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, God blesses you and I, and he wants you and I to enjoy it. He just doesn't want you and I to think as owners. Because if we think as owners, we'll become givers and not be generous. He goes on to say this, command. He uses the word command again. Why does he use the word command twice? Because generosity isn't natural for me. He's not making a suggestion here. He said, I'm dealing with your heart issue. I know you folks because I know me. Generosity does not come natural to us. He says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And here's what he says, in this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is what? Truly life. Happy people order their life around giving, not receiving. And they experience life and life to the fullest. So in light of that, how can you and I run with generosity? Let me give you three things that I've learned. Here's the first thing. To run with generosity, I must develop a plan. I must develop a plan. I must have a plan. Benjamin Franklin said it like this. If you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. And so what happens is you got to develop a plan. And this is why most people aren't generous, because you don't have a plan. Not a strategic one. You've got a plan. You just don't know that you have a plan, because you're a person of habits, okay? If we studied you, we'd find your plan. But we have to have a plan. We got to develop a strategic plan. You see, most people are 3S givers. And here's what I mean by 3S givers. They give spontaneous, if you can move their emotions. If you can touch their heart, they'll give. They're sporadic, okay? Well, they're passing the plate. We better give something. Or you walk by the Salvation Army kettle and you feel like you need to give something, and so you're sporadic or sparingly. And what you have to do is you do that and you remember those times, and because you remember those times, you think you're generous, but you're not. You're a spontaneous giver. You're a sporadic giver, and you're a sparingly giver. But what happens is you think of that time, not the other times. And so the writer in Proverbs tells us this. He says, the plans of the diligent leads to what? Abundance and advantage. Wow. If you plan, you will have abundance and you will have a certain advantage on other people. But everyone who acts in haste comes surely to poverty. So what's the plan that we need to develop? We've talked about this many times here at New Point. Here's the plan, okay, that will lead you to abundance and to have an advantage. You give first, you save, and then you spend. That's how you do it. And listen, if you have that plan, I promise you, you have abundance. And you have an advantage over other people. You give first, you save, and you spend. Most of us, it's upside down. You know what we do? We spend, and then we try to save a little bit, and we say, well, okay, I'm not in shape to give anything. And so you got to develop a plan. Here's the second thing we need to do. We need to determine a percentage. We need to determine a percentage. And this is huge. You need to know ahead of time what you're going to give. Generous people think in percentages. Generous people think in percentages. And the key to generosity is reordering your finances. And it's to determine the percentage. Here's what Paul says, okay? Paul writes this. He says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart, determined in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, not sporadically, not spontaneously, not sparingly, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so what we need to do is we need to determine a percentage that we're going to give. And so we have to become a 3P giver. What's a 3P giver? Well, you establish a priority of giving. We're going to give. That's the first thing that we're going to do. Secondly, we're going to determine a percentage. And then third, we're going to progress with that. We're going to grow and we're going to develop that. You see, let me share this with you, okay? Here's a good test of whether you're a generous person or not. Do you get upset and offended when we talk about money at New Point? If you get upset or offended when we talk about money at New Point, you're not generous. You're greedy. You're greedy. Because can I tell you something? Generous people don't get upset and offended when people talk about money or they even ask for money. Say what? Yeah. Generous people don't get offended or upset when people talk about money or ask for money. You know why? Because they got a plan and they've determined their percentage. You know, there's times I have people come and ask me to support something in the community or something. It could be very, very good. And I have no problem looking them straight in the eye and say, no. I'm sure it's good. I'm sure it's helpful, but no. You know why? Because we've already determined. We determine what we're going to give this year. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't give spontaneously at times. Sometimes God will just say, hey, you know what? I know what you've already determined to give, but I want you to go ahead and do this. I want you to get even more extravagant. But the fact of the matter is you're not going to offend me by talking for money or asking me for money. See, what happens is generous people don't get offended by that because they have a plan and they've determined their percentage. And so what you want to do if you're going to run with generosity, you got to develop a plan. You've got to determine a percentage, okay? And then here's the third thing. You got to designate a place. You got to designate a place. A place what? Of where you're going to give. Where you're going to give. You got to evaluate. I like to say the way in which you evaluate a place of where you give, you find out, number one, is there clarity, is there character, and is there competency? You see, here's what Jesus would say. Jesus would say, where your treasure is, there is your heart also. There is your heart also. And so you designate a place. You see, generosity is how you say yes to what's important to you. It's how you say yes to what's important to you. So you designate a place. And you say, here's a place I'm going to give, here's a place I'm going to give, here's a place I'm going to give. And you say, well, Dwight, how do I determine where I should give? You ask yourself three questions. Here's the three questions that you ask. The first one is this: what are you grateful for? What are you grateful for? For me, I'm grateful for New Point. It's changed my life. For some of you, you know what? You're married because of New Point, because of God's grace. Your family, your life has never been the same. And so you determine where you're going to give by what am I grateful for? Secondly, what breaks my heart? What breaks your heart? See, I believe that the local church is the hope of the world, living and teaching the truth of Jesus Christ. And what breaks my heart is families that are breaking up. It's kids who grow up in homes without a father. It's people's lives who are being wrecked. That's what breaks my heart. I ask myself, what's the greatest avenue to be able to change that? For me, it's the local church. And then the third one is this. What has eternal value? What has eternal value? And that will guide you of where you need to designate your giving. So you want to run with generosity. Develop a plan. You want to be able to determine a percentage. And you want to be able to designate a place. Now, I want you to listen to some stories right now of people who are practicing this right now in real life and are reaping an incredible benefit. Watch this.
Well, I want to thank you for being here. This is exciting, and I've had the privilege of leading New Point for 32 years, and you folks have been a big, big part of that, and I just wanted to kind of take some time and hear your story. I know that you've bought in to what New Point is about, and one of the things that we talk about is that God wants us to leverage our time and our talent and our treasure. And I know that you folks do that, and you do that consistently, you do that faithfully, which I'm thankful for. And but why do you do that? Because, you know, I say that, and you know, we challenge people here. Hey, it's important that you leverage your time and your talent and your treasure for God and through His church. So why do you do that?
For a lot of people, I think that it's easy to write a check, even though we sometimes think that people can't, or it's, that may be the struggle, but right. For people that maybe that can, it's the time aspect. So I think our biggest struggle that we've had to is always trying to find the time to volunteer in the church or get involved. Yeah. And so that's our sacrifice more than anything else. And we see the benefits of that that time probably more than anything, and giving back to the people that call New Point home.
Great.
I just see how many people have come to know the Lord through New Point.
Uh-huh.
When we started 26 years ago, it was a small church.
Right.
And when I saw how excited Paul got to go to church compared to how it had been, and we both grew so much under your messages, and we were challenged, and it was the messages. It was what we needed for that week. And so often it was just like, you're just speaking to us what we're dealing with today. And sometimes it's like, you're stepping on our toes. How did you know what we're going through?
Yeah.
And just as time has come and gone, there are so many people and children. I see children at our church. They're just children and young people everywhere. And that's so encouraging to me. And I just love to be a part of a church that is growing and expanding and just seeing so many people come to the Lord and their lives are being changed.
Yeah, that's great. Mike and Becky, how about you folks?
For us, it's easy to give to New Point. New Point's a progressive church. We know when we give either our time or our money, it's going to be used wisely for good things. And also, early on, we were in a small group here at church and we studied the Book of Life, God Rewards.
Oh, yeah.
And it really, really hit me because it really made me focus on eternity. And that everything that we do here on earth, you know, we're going to get rewards in heaven for it.
Right.
I'm a pretty practical guy, and that seemed to add up. So, you know, why save your money and do things that's going to be temporary here on earth when you can give, do things for the ministry, and know that we're going to get a reward in heaven for being, you know, faithful and giving like that.
That's great. Well, you know, I just want you to know that I'm really appreciative of the time and the treasures and the talent that you leverage for God through New Point. And I know that each of you as couples and as families, though, have sacrificed in many ways financially to be able to give. And I know you've heard me say that big visions take big dollars. And so, you know, why and what would cause you to say, hey, you know what, I'm willing to sacrifice and I'm willing to invest in a place like New Point? Like, what would cause you to do that?
For us, it's been just kind of a God nudge. I mean, I think it's different for different people in different seasons
sure.
of life. Mm-hmm. But in the campaigns, I feel always like it's almost a spiritual issue because for us, it's always been, you know, God nudging, saying, you know, this could be used in a better way than where they are now, you know. And at that time, that was just what he was asking us to do. And you know, this time it might be different. And it's always been a blessing. I mean, we've never been sorry ever. Yeah. If we follow what God's asking us to do.
Yeah.
Like Grant said, sometimes it's easy just to write a check if you've got that money.
Mm-hmm.
But when you give more than what you can afford, it was fun to see how God works things out so you can give that amount.
Yeah.
And we never knew at the time we made our pledge how that was going to work. But we've got lots of stories about how it just happened.
That's great. That's great. Roxanne, Grant, how about you on that?
Well, I think following God's promptings and how different they are between everybody
right.
is amazing. God led us to tithe based on Matthew 23:23,
uh-huh.
where he talked about, you know, where Jesus said, you hypocrites, you tithe on your spices,
yeah.
but you neglect the weightier matters.
Right.
And I turned to him and I said, we need to be tithing. And he
yeah.
said, okay. And it was like that moment where God spoke to both of us. And
yeah.
then through the years, God led us in at those times
yeah.
in that direction. And at one point, I think a few years ago, we went to 13%
yeah.
of our gross profit from
yeah.
all of our businesses
wow.
and all of our income.
Wow.
When we did that, it was the peace that comes on you.
Uh-huh.
It can be a scary decision
uh-huh.
at first, but then once you follow through on it
uh-huh.
and you know it's of God, he always comes through. And, you know, we may pull back on other things.
Sure.
But if someone comes to know God, then it's all worth it.
Wow.
It's worth it.
Good. Well, I want you to know that I am so grateful for your giving of your time and of your talent and of your treasure, because we could not be experiencing what we're experiencing if it were not for folks like you. And, you know, here we are, one church in five different locations, and we're seeing people's lives change every single week, every single week. But what I've done is I've asked some people to join me, and they're going to come, and I just want you to hear some of the stories that is happening across New Point. It's happening in Dover, it's happening in Millersburg, it's happening in Worcester, it's happening in Coshocton, it's happening in Canton. And I could never do it justice by just sitting here and telling you thanks. And so I've asked some friends, some New Pointers to come, and just to be able to let you know what your sacrifice and what your generosity has done. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. We could go on and on and on. And so I want you to hear this first story. And as you hear this first story, I want you to know, hey, you know what? Because of my investment, because of obeying God, I played a role in this person's life. And so listen to these stories.
My name is Scott Martin, and I come before you with just an incredible amount of gratitude and how your generosity has changed my life and those around me forever. I'm originally from the Carolinas, moved to Millersburg in a career. 21 years I put into this. I'm the father of a 5-year-old girl. Prayed for many years to have that blessing. And in the course of my employment, in my absence of being gone Monday through Friday, my wife fell in love with another man and took my child and left. I was the epitome of brokenness, depressed, empty, alone, and going to Sunday church and marking that off, and God brought me to my knees. And I was threatened by a child support enforcement agency that I was going to jail. And I went to the sheriff's department, and the deputy, when I walked in, said, "Hello, Scott." And I said, "Do I know you?" He goes, "I heard your prayer Sunday in the volunteer room, and I'm here for you." And I saw God's hand for the first time that way. And I was still struggling. I knew I had to have a career change, and I'd searched on my own for 5 months without success and thought, wow, I'm too old. Nobody wants me. And I said, God, help me. And he said, be transparent. Go before the church. And I met with Chad, and I told him my plight. And he said, Scott, I can't help you, but I know who can. 2 weeks, I got a phone call. I'm in a new career today. I have time with my daughter every other weekend. And it's been such a blessing, you know, such a blessing. It has, your generosity has united my family that was fractured in the Carolinas. We see the grace of God through what you have done. And on Sundays, it's not a more joy to me than hear my five-year-old say, Daddy, wake up. We've got to go to church. That's great. And I just want to say thank you so much for changing my life. I'm volunteering now. I'm in a small group, and I'm exposed to such a graceful and loving Father. And without you, I'm not sure I would be where I am. So thank you very much.
Hi. My name is Hannah. I'm 17 years old. I'm going to try and do this without crying. But about a year and a half ago, I was in a very dark place. I wasn't a happy person. I was angry, and I was not a good person. I used to be this bubbly, happy, overjoyed person with life, and I went through a really hard time in my life where I wasn't that person. And then Lindsay Olinger, I met her at the Salvation Army one day, and she asked me to come to Collective. So I did, and that next Sunday I was in church with her, and I cried my very first worship song. And from then on, I became my happy, bubbly person again, and I invited my sister to start coming to church with me as well because she was in a similar situation. And at first she said no, and then yesterday actually, we were both baptized by Chad. So yeah, what you guys do really does make a difference, not only for our older generation, but for us young kids as well. I mean, my life has forever changed. And I never thought that a year ago I would be sitting here telling you about this story and I wouldn't be crying either. But I do want you to know how much of a difference you do make in the lives of our community. And it truly is a blessing to me that you are all here. So thank you.
Thank you for
having me. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
I'm Carolyn Corbett. This is my husband, David.
Hi.
Hi. We came here today because we wanted to express to you our gratitude and to share a little bit of how New Point has impacted our lives. In 2002, David and I were married, and God had blessed us shortly after that in 2006 and 2007 with our beautiful children. And at that point for us, we both knew God, but our lives were definitely not a reflection of what it means to have God in your heart and to have Jesus in your heart. So the difficulties of marriage became hard and demanding. And for us, it resulted in a divorce. It was shortly after that that I found New Point. I actually started attending the Canton campus. And it was there through the teaching and through the opportunities to serve and the opportunities to grow in my faith that I was able to bring God from a distance into my heart again and make him the center of my life. 3 years after our divorce, God had used New Point again through a mentor couple and through our small group to help us reconcile our marriage and to reunite our family.
Awesome.
And as God would have it, there's more. Because of the faithfulness of everybody around. David and I live in Worcester, and we were traveling to Canton and sometimes to Millersburg to attend church, and God blessed New Point with a campus in Worcester, and we were afforded the opportunity to be a part of that and to watch it grow. And now we have a place where our family can go on Sunday, and we get to connect with God, and we get to connect with other people, and bring along our family and our friends. So thank you from our family, from our community, from the bottom of our hearts. It's the opportunities like this that really get us to continue on our journey to growing and to realizing and reaching our full potential too. Thank you.
So how does that make you feel?
It's one thing to be challenged, you know, on a Sunday morning and to hear it and to participate and in a way be a little bit distant from it. But when you sit across the table from somebody and look them in the eye and hear their story, it's overwhelming.
It is.
It makes it so worthwhile.
There's thousands and thousands of people who could sit at this table and tell you their story. And you have played a role in that because of your leveraging your time and your talent and your treasure. And so thank you, thank you, thank you. And you know, here at New Point, we believe that everybody spends forever somewhere. And we believe that the hope of the world is the local church living and teaching the truth of Jesus Christ. And that this place, the local church, is the greatest investment that anybody could make. And so we want to thank you for the investment that you've made and the difference that you're making. And we know that it'll take all of eternity to be able to express and to be able to share all that you have done. So thank you on behalf of New Point, and not only New Point, but literally the world, because of your commitment and your vision. So thank you so much, and thanks for sharing your story with us. We love you.
That right there is a window of what heaven is going to be like. That's what it means when God's going to hand out rewards. You and I are going to be introduced to the people whose lives were changed because we were generous with our time, our talents, and our treasure. And I know you're like me. You want to make a difference. You want to be able to leave a legacy with your generosity. We want to be able to store up treasures in heaven that will be there forever and ever and ever. And so here at New Point, we believe that God is calling us to continue to extend and reach and lead people to realize and reach their full potential in Jesus Christ. And we believe for us to do that, we're asking and believing for $12 million. You say, that's a lot of money. It is. But we're more than capable of doing it. And so I want to encourage you to pray and ask God what He would have you to do. You say, well, Dwight, what's this going to be about? Well, right there in your weekly, you will see the I'm In projects. And this is what we believe that God is calling us to do. And we want to be able to do this. And we want to be able to continue to reach people who are broken and hurting with what you and I know and what you and I have. And that is the person of Jesus Christ. And so what do you need to do? Well, I would encourage you to have a family conference. And if you don't have one of these, you can pick up one of these at the information booth. And sit down with your family and go through this and begin to say, we need to develop a plan. We need to determine a percentage. We need to designate a place of what we are grateful for and what breaks our heart and what will last forever and ever and ever. So we encourage you to do that. And so here's my challenge to you as we close today, and that is this. Just ask this simple thing. God, what do you want to do through me to fulfill your vision through New Point? And the question that I often get, well, Dwight, what do I know is the right number? How do I know I have determined the right percentage? Well, C.S. Lewis gives us a clue when he says this. He says, how do you know when you're giving enough? It scares you and people question your sanity. And so if it doesn't scare you and if people aren't questioning your sanity, then you know what? You're not where you need to be. And when you find yourself there, then you know what God will say? I'll meet you there, and I'll do something incredible in you and through you for my kingdom. So let's run with generosity. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today for who you are. We love you. We thank you for your generosity. We thank you that you developed a plan and you determined the percentage that you were all in. You came to earth and died a death so that we could designate the place of where we spend eternity, and that is with you forever and ever. Now help us to follow your lead and your example, and we pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.